Here we go. Is this President's Day? I cannot remember. This is... Is it President's Day or George Washington's birthday? I'm so confused. I didn't know I was supposed to run out and buy a mattress. What is it, Jack Stein?
President's Day.
President's Day. All right. So everybody's included, right? Millard Fillmore. Millard Fillmore, one of the worst presidents. James Buchanan, they're all in there. This is like if you were on, like, they're picking presidents, like they're picking a softball team, and you're Abraham Lincoln and you're George Washington, and you're standing next to each other, and you're like, This is good. How you doing? Yeah, how's the wife? That's good. Mary Todd. How's you? Yeah, he's a little depressed. Yeah. And they're picking teams, right? And then they're like, I'll take Washington. Okay, you got Lincoln, right? And then it gets down to the last few, which are like, you got. That's where you didn't even choose the guy. It's just you got.
Yeah.
Okay, you got Millard Fillmore, right? That's the last guy standing there. And all of a sudden,
you got Franklin George Washington Pierce. Looks,
you got Pierce. You look over at Washington's like, really? I'm included with these people? These guys are on my team? I'm the best. They're on my team? James Buchanan? He can't hit.
Time to get in the
news! Didn't it used to be George Washington's birthday? Before they put everybody in the wagon and then they're all in there together and now it's President's Day? That's so unfair.
Yeah. Politically incorrect just to call it Washington's birthday.
Just leave it as Washington's birthday. The guy was so smart. First of all, he didn't want to be, they didn't want to call it. He said, we want to call you something. Nope. Coronation. No. He was against all that. King. Nope. Your honor. No. He just said, nope, three times. Nope. I don't want to be involved in that. I'll lead the country, but let's not have that. That's why we broke away. Let me reread what we sent to King George. It's really important that we stay. We want the executive branch to be accountable to everybody. Please, let's keep all of this in place. And God bless him. And then they pile everybody else into his birthday. It's like if your birthday's right around Christmas time or it just happens to be close enough to some other holiday, and then that holiday kind of sucks up your birthday. The friends of mine are like, yeah, my birthday's on Valentine's Day. I go, well, that's kind of nice. No, because then it's always this theme of hearts. I don't have my own day. You go, like, Christmas. Oh, my birthday's on Christmas. Oh, you were a great gift to your mom and dad. Nope. Person's like, oh, no. Then under the tree, it's like, oh, no, Tommy, that's a birthday gift. It's like, Oh, that's not a Christmas gift? No, that's a birthday gift. They just throw. You're getting the two for one, and you're not getting what you need. All right. Sorry about that. Tom's off. Jack Stein's in. Did you get a chance to watch any of the last bits and pieces of the sequel to the impeachment?
I tried to avoid it as much as possible because I didn't want to be outraged. I didn't want to be just so deeply upset about the complete lack of any kind of coherent government that we have in the United States. But my lawyer, who I talked to today, my lawyer says to me, he says, hey, you know, I could have argued that impeachment trial and I would have won. And I said, well, what would you have done? And he said, well, I would have met the legal standard for incitement, which got me thinking, John Curley, is it possible that you and I have such an extreme bias, of which we both have, we have an extreme bias, that you and I are actually missing the point that, let's say, 50-some-odd% of the United States has, which is that the president was guilty of his crimes. Are you and I missing that as not only broadcast personalities, but also intellectuals? What say
not
you?
Not intellectual. It is up to the prosecutor to prove the point of incitement. And Brandenburg versus Ohio is the case that people talk about incitement. That was one of the ones that sort of set the standard for this guy was saying stuff. And then it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And they basically said, no, you're allowed to say that. What they didn't have was, this is what took it away. You had a whole bunch of people that were planning this thing way ahead of time. Went out and went to, I don't know, Cabela's or whatever, and bought Bear Mace and some other stuff and bought a bunch of junk. They'd been on Facebook planning. They were going to go. They're going in. And Trump has a big speech, and while the speech is going on, they decide, hey, let's go there. So they were not standing there in the village square, and then all of a sudden he goes, hey, everybody, right now, run down the street. And let's go in there and get those people. That is not protected speech under the First Amendment when you are actually using the speech itself in order to incite people to go do something to somebody else. That's not protected under the First Amendment. They weren't able to prove. So they did manipulate stuff, which I thought was absolutely crazy. I didn't know about that until Saturday when the one guy from Philadelphia, the Trump's attorney, got up there and said, look, here's a picture. And you could see they manipulate. They put something out. They photoshopped the date on this and this. They photoshopped one of the Twitter accounts has the official check at the top. And then over here, they look how they've edited this video to make it seem like they stuck this right. stuff in there. And people knew it was a foregone conclusion. You got seven Republicans that went over and voted with the Democrats. And then Mitch McConnell got up and I thought gave a great speech. He basically said, look, it's terrible what the president did prior to when he was lying to everybody. And then it was terrible that he didn't do anything while it was going on. But Mitch McConnell understands what he has to do. Here's some Mitch.
January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. They did this because they'd been fed wild falsehoods by the most powerful man on earth. Because he was angry, he lost an election. Former President Trump's actions preceded the riot were a disgraceful, disgraceful duty. There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it. The people who stormed this building believed they were acting on the wishes and instructions of their president.
Mitch McConnell still does not vote with the Democrats, and a pretty smart move on his part, Jack, because he knows 2022, he's got to get the Senate back. If he voted yeah. with the Democrats, then all of a sudden it becomes this binary choice of Trump is now got all of his people to run against Mitch McConnell's people. Mitch McConnell has to keep it together. So it's like, listen, he's not going to split the party in two. He's going to stick with the whole thing. So you got Trump's people and Mitch McConnell's people. Whoever's going to run is going to run in 2022, and he needs to get them. There's about 14, I think a couple people retiring. I met, there might be like maybe 14 or 15. I can't remember the ones that he's working on to make sure that those guys get a chance to get elected. All he wants to do is get electable people into the Senate so that he can have the majority again. He knew if he voted against Trump, he would then lose it because then all the Democrats say, oh, Mitch McConnell, we love you. He's hated by both Republicans, Trump people, and Nancy Pelosi's people, and he does not care. He's got his eye on the prize, which is to get the majority back again. You can hear the excitement in his voice.
Isn't that so fascinating, though, that both parties now, even with Trump out of office, they both still need the man. They both still, I mean, we understand that this whole impeachment process was for fundraising and for a big show, this big kind of Soviet-style trial where we have heavily edited footage coming out saying, look at how terrible he was, look at how terrible. This is all about getting money for the Democrats, I would say, through fundraising. But for the Republicans, what I don't understand, and maybe you could help me out with this, John Curley, yeah. the seven that decided to kind of go along with this whole ruse, what is their strategy in the next 2 to 4 years? Because I think it's going to backfire. Mitt Romney, Sasse, all these guys, Murkowski, it's going to backfire in the worst way possible. Are they still depending on this kind of 2006, 2008 kind of Republican goodwill? Or are they is there something else they got in the back pocket that I'm just not seeing about why you would go along with this kind of vote?
No, you get it. Mitt Romney hates Trump. And the people that yeah. like Mitt Romney also dislike Trump. So they knew where his vote was going. Ben Sasse is the only one anyone else can figure out. You knew where the others that went were. One, Richard Burr's retiring, so what does he care? He's going out on the idea of like, look, you know, it's terrible. Maybe he wants to have some sort of career. Does anybody vote their conscience, or is it always something down the road? I just believe that people, the principles themselves are not as important as what the next career move for most of these people are. And Tom would yell, well, that's such a cynical view. Well, that seems to be what politics is all about. So each one of them has some move as to why they're making the vote the way they make it and end up with the seven over there. I thought this was interesting. I don't know if you saw this or not. This is Donald Trump's Philadelphia lawyer, who, by the way, I think is like a slip and fall lawyer out of Philly. I asked my brother. He doesn't know him. He knows the other guy. This guy's on there. You can tell he did not want to
follow
be there.
Up with a point that you're making right now about the House managers, as you say, doctoring evidence and the argument.
They didn't deny it.
Of yours.
They didn't deny it.
So what they're saying is he showed evidence of here's the photo. They photoshopped. They changed the date to make it look like somebody was tweeting something that Trump was saying this thing this year instead of last year. They changed right. the check. They put it at the top to make the person look like an official thing. And then also they edited stuff differently. So this woman is basically saying, so you're saying that they did.
I put it in front of them three times.
To be clear for our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark. That's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet. A 2020 that should have actually read 2021. And the selective editing, you say, of the tapes. Is that how, is
wait,
that
wait,
the
wait,
doctored
wait, wait,
evidence
wait, wait,
of what you're speaking?
Wait, that's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
That this is where
you have won the acquittal of your client.
Yes,
and if you'd
I
like
did.
To continue to talk about this conversation, we can have that.
A slanted question that was set up
question.
To say it's okay for them to cheat. That was your question. You got to live by your words. That's the problem. The media has to start living by the truth and not try to
right.
create a narrative.
Michael Van Der Veen.
I like this move. Then he, at this point, he's got his arms crossed. He's like, why did I agree to come on this thing? And then she goes to give the goodbye. And at that point, he's taking the microphone, the lavalier, off of his tie.
Thank you for
Citizen.
Joining us. I do appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay.
wow.
That's literal mic drop. His point was when she goes, so there was a check there, and it should have said 20. It said 20. No, it's not. It said 20 instead of 21. They changed it. That's what he was trying to say. No. They manipulated the evidence. I caught them. They manipulated it. Don't say, well, there was a check here, and there was this and that. And that's why he got all mad and ended up dropping the mic and walking out of there. Boy, he gave like an impassioned speech about bring this country together, and you guys only care about ratings, and you want to drive people apart, and the media needs to play a part in this, and you should play it down the middle. Of course, he did it with one of those wonderful. So I listened to it, and I'm like, oh my God, those are my people. He's got like a. Could you hear a little bit of that Philadelphia accent coming out?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what you.
I could take any John. Like I could take any piece of footage of you. Let's say it's you at one of your charity auctions, or I could take footage of you in the studio right now. And if I put a particular filter over the top of it, and then I put sad piano music underneath it, or really dramatic piano music underneath it, and I said, John Curley is a terrible racist, or whatever, I could manipulate any piece of footage, regardless of what you are talking about, and give people the emotional impression that you are a bad person. And I could do it with anybody on this planet. If you're just a casual citizen out there thinking, I saw the tape of President Trump, I know what I saw, you're deluding yourself, because you can take any piece of footage of anybody and make them look like the most miserable, disgusting human being on the planet. They do it every single year for elections. It's amazing. Yes. To me, that more people aren't aware of the fact of the power of footage and what you can do with editing.
Yes. The slow-mo where the person turns to the camera in slow motion and then they freeze it so their face is all destroyed
right.
and their
yeah.
mouth looks like it's sucking on a lemon.
And make it black and white, and then you put a black bar at the bottom that says, John Curley believes that we should drown children. And everybody goes, oh my God, I can't believe John Curley thinks that we should be drowning children. Why would he want to do that yeah. to healthy children? And then the next clip is you smiling at somebody. This is John Curley after he's just talked about drowning children. It doesn't actually matter what you're talking about. What matters is the visual. And I wish yes. that more people were aware of how manipulated they are, how their emotions are manipulated on a daily basis by major media.
Here's Senator Lindsey Graham stepping in saying, well, you want to do that, then we're going to do this.
I don't know how Kamala Harris doesn't get impeached if the Republicans take over the House, because she actually bailed out rioters, and one of the rioters went back to the streets and broke somebody's head open. So we've opened Pandora's box here, and I'm sad for the country.
Listen, it's such an awful thing. I hope, listen, President Trump, there he goes. The people voted him out. Off he goes to whatever he's going to do. Right? Done.
Go.
Now. Fine. Move on, everybody. Move on. You don't have him anymore. I don't know what the New York Times are going to do and CNN and MSNBC will do, but it's over. Lord Cromwell, when he died, they buried him. And then, a couple months later, they dug his body up and carried it around, then they cut his head off and they put it on a spear and had that out in front for like a year, year and a half. And they just did horrible things to this guy's body just to kind of keep things going, because Cromwell was so horrible to the Irish. And his head on a spear for a whole year just to keep everybody good and angry. So I don't know what poor Donald. I guess we got to get, Kathy Griffin, the alleged comedian, to take the bloody head out again every once in a while to get people be upset again. He's gone. He's gone, everyone. So go do the business of doing the business and don't keep bringing him back again. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us on a Monday, but a holiday.
I guess
people are all out buying mattresses. Don't you all buy mattresses? And then you, yeah, that's what's going on.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Bye.
Bye, Tom. I got the door.
Tom stops by. Isn't that nice of him to stop by just to do that and let everybody know that Jesse and everybody at Cairo 7 is fighting for us?
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
It is an ongoing struggle. Everyone at 7 is just always battling, constantly fighting for us at this difficult time. There's a fun piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day. It says, free stuff is all over on Craigslist and Facebook, and it's getting weirder and weirder. This guy's selling half a bowling ball, and he writes, I hate to throw it out. Does anybody else want it? And then other people just putting up, somebody put up 23 empty beer bottles. Someone else put up the cooking oil that they had used to deep fry a turkey. And it's there, they say, with so many people have so much time on their hands, they are decluttering, but they have ended up cluttering up Facebook with so much stuff. And they, one little part in here is this, if you want to sell it, it's important that you put up a story, because people are more likely. You ever sold anything on Craigslist or Facebook there, Jack?
A couple of guitars way back in the day when I needed some quick money for extracurricular activities. I certainly did do that.
I see. And did you put a little story up or just put the guitar up there?
I just put this
old axe of mine has seen me through some good times and bad. Anything like that?
No, it was a lot of like, this is a 72 Telecaster Deluxe. This is what it should be worth, but I'm a terrible drug addict, so I'm giving it to you at 50% off. Bargain basement prices. Come on down, get what you want. Feed somebody's horrible addiction. That was basically what I put into the Craigslist ad. Yeah, emotional. Wow. Emotional.
Yeah, it all gets back to you and your heroin addiction.
I know, it does, right? Well, I mean, you got to loop it back around somehow. I could talk about my YouTube channel.
You know what? Let's try to lighten the mood. Let's lighten the mood. I'm going to bring my daughter on and her boyfriend, who live in Austin now, and Chuck needed money, and I said, Chuck, you can sell all of this stuff. I got a whole bunch of stuff to sell. Guitars and couches and just clear it all out. Here she comes. I couldn't find any music to bring Chuck on with. She used to stick stuff on my phone all the time. That's the only... Hey, Chuck, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Hi.
I hate to bring you on with Hannah Montana, Best of Both Worlds, but that's the only thing I had. That's the last time you ever put anything on my phone. And I'm like, hey, get this stupid songs off. But luckily, it was still there. All right. Is that boyfriend of yours there sitting next to you?
Yes, he is.
Hey, Mr. Curly.
All right. Hey, Seth. Way to feign respect by calling me Mr. Curly. Okay. So when you went to sell everything, Chuck was just going to just stick it on Craigslist, and you had the and Facebook, and you had the brilliant idea to do what?
Yeah, so I wanted to make a story. So I said, me and my wife were moving across country. A lot of these items were kind of wedding gifts, so we don't know exactly where they're from. I wanted to make a story, make it sound more personable, and like they weren't coming from some smelly home that was beaten up and run down.
Okay, so in the person's mind, immediately there's no smelly home, beaten up and run down, because you're married, you're obviously doing well, you're moving across country to probably go to an even better job with an even less smelly home. And so then these things have to go, like the couch, right?
Yeah.
The rug, on all of it. So what ended up happening? You put it out there, and then it seems like an innocent thing to do, to sort of make up a malarkey story about you and your wife receiving all these things as wedding gifts. What happened next?
Well, then I put it up on we put it up on OfferUp, and we put it up on Facebook, and I just copy and pasted the description from OfferUp, put it onto my Facebook marketplace, and all of a sudden, Mom started calling me and was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "I have so many friends reaching out to me right now asking me if you have a wife, if you were recently married, where you're going, why you're selling a couch. Like, they all want to know what you've been up to. And now I'm stuck going to dinner with these ladies." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Please tell them." Okay. I actually don't know what she ended up telling those women, but
okay. First of all, let me help Mom out here. When you say that Mom was stuck going to dinner with these ladies, Chuck, some of those ladies listen to this show, so the impression that Mom is stuck going to dinner with them, we could fix that in post. But as it is right now, Mom probably really enjoyed the opportunity to reunite with so many women that were concerned that you are now a lesbian moving across the country and not having a couch.
Yeah, she was delighted.
Seth, what was one of the so most of the stuff, once you started down the road of fictional life of you and this person of yours moving across the country, did you add any other elements in there that would come back to haunt Charlie?
No, not really. Just we had a pet-free home.
Yeah, we didn't smoke.
We were non-smokers. Uh-huh. Yeah, there were a lot of things.
The marriage was the main sham.
Yeah, the marriage was the big lie. But other than that, most of it was true.
Why didn't you put all of this property belonged to the world famous John Curley, infamous radio host, charity auctioneer? Yeah. That would have been the selling point for me. I would have to have John Curley's couch at that point in time and fantasize about what it's like to watch Tucker Carlson every night and take notes about what I'm going to talk about the next day.
What do you think, Chuck? Why not cash in on my celebrity?
That would have been the smart move. In hindsight, that would have been the way to go.
Yes.
It would have been much easier.
Less problems for everyone.
Well, here's the other weird thing about this story. What are these women doing following you on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, that's
Everybody's
weird.
Everybody's mom follows me on Facebook. I think it's where the moms feel like they can follow their child's friends on social media. So they follow me. Big part of my following on Facebook, really.
Are like 45-year-old moms living in Sammamish? What's that, Chuck?
Yeah. That's my demo. That's my demographic on Facebook. Is that the right word?
Yeah. I think
so. Yeah, the demo. Cool. Seth, when people would come to look at the stuff and buy it, how did you all of a sudden try to act like a happily married couple, a non-smoking without pets?
Yeah, we kept our hands in our pockets because we didn't have rings. So we were very careful not to show our knuckles. We acted just as loving and caring as we always do. And, added a little bit of gravitas to all of our movements, kind of tried to show some age.
How old are you guys in the first place to be? Aren't you guys like 19 years old, 20 years old, and you're saying that you recently got married and you're selling all the John Curley stuff? That's what you should have said. You should have said that you were part of a heist who you got all of John Curley's stuff and now you were selling it for charity. That would have been a great story to spin.
Jack, you missed the best part.
Thank you. For the next time.
Yeah, you missed the best part. Seth saying that they tried to move more slowly to give the impression that they were older. I also like the fact that if the person's standing there, hey, can you give me a hand with this? And then you have your hands in your pocket. You go, shrugging your shoulders. I can't. Because I don't want to take my hands out of my pocket to help you carry the couch, because then you'll see that I'm not married. And then who knows what happens?
I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, when everything burns, the whole lie collapses.
The whole lie collapses.
And it goes. Seth and Charlie, continue to enjoy yourself living in sin in Austin and the frigid cold temperatures. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Thank
you. Bye, Seth. Treat her right. Bye.
Will do.
All right. There we go. Good guy. Really good guy. Amazing.
Living in
amazing sin. Yes, they are living in sin. Yeah. It's funny. Lace and I had an orange couch. I don't know. From the first, you know, it's when you get divorced and then you meet somebody new, the woman that comes in, it's like a bird. It's like from the bird family. They don't want anything left in the nest, left over from the other bird. So this couch, which I really liked, had to go. It was tomato orange. It was butter. It was like butter. The leather was butter. And I took it to this consignment shop in Ballard. And the woman was so impressed that it was mine that she put a sign on the window, or put a sign on the couch, John Curley's couch. And then it says, slight stain. And she pointed to where it was. And the lady asked what that was. It was a teeny tiny, little teeny stain on the leather couch. You know what it was? It was a tear. And she added that. She put that on there. John Curley's tear has stained this couch.
So it went for a lot of money, didn't it? A
lot of money, yeah. People came in and they with leather sheet and cut out just the tear and bought that.
I would have just gone in to take a picture with it.
You could have. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
I bet.
Wonder who has that couch now.
Shh. You're not supposed to say anything. It's in my garage.
That's right. All right. Oh, yeah. Everybody up. What do you say? Come on. Put your hands in the air. Everyone, look at me. My name is Zantron. I sound like a pharmaceutical that can help reduce swelling in your joints. Everyone, hands in the air. But first, Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. We've been around for 50 years. We know what we're doing. Everyone, here we go. Let's party. Eighteen hours later. Hands in the air, everyone!
This is the opposite of relaxing, John. This is miserable. Was that Sandstorm? Is that Darude Sandstorm I hear right there?
It is, yep, Jack.
Yeah.
Why are we playing Sandstorm?
Know your meme, John Curley. Know your meme. That's a deep cut meme song at this point in time. I remember when that song first came out. I think I was in fifth grade, and people lost their minds over it. They considered it to be like some kind of magnum opus, like one of the greatest compositions of all time. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, everybody just got burnt out on it, much like the Macarena or any other one-hit wonder.
Well, apparently techno music, which we were just listening to, is the least relaxing form of music. Really? Oh,
no.
This was a study. It was. Did anyone need anybody to tell us that?
How dare you, John Curley? Every night I suffer from terrible insomnia, and so I put on Little Texas, the most recent tech guy out there, and I just blast it directly into my ears, full volume, right into my ears every night, so I can just peacefully drift off to sleep. Some people choose Rain. I go with Little Texas. I think that's called Hard Style. This is the hardest techno I can find.
And that it helps, your breathing begins to sort of shallow, your mm-hmm. body temperature begins to drop, your heart rate comes yeah. down, and then yeah. you find yourself slipping into deep REM, I guess, is rapid eye movement, where most of the rejuvenating moments of sleep occur. Is that what happens?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens, yeah. John Curley.
And again, the music sounds something like what, Sean?
The music? Oh, you want some of that Darude?
Yeah, you got any of that?
Yeah, I got some of that. I got some of that Darude.
Everyone, you know, let me tell you the time I went to the Netherlands and went to a rave.
Yeah.
And the guy was up on this huge stage and he's like, I used to be like you.
Yes.
I used to work all the time. 40 hours a week, and then I thought, I free myself of this, and now I am free, not like the rest of you that are slaves to the man. Everyone, hands in the air.
What?
Like, screw you. What, I'm a slave to the man, and like, oh, you're free?
I'm Noxnard.
And it's like spelled with like 3 K's and 1 X, and then like some, then the number 4 up on this
a
giant
J.
screen. Everyone's like, oh, I love this guy. He's the greatest. Oh, I wish I had ecstasy. I would have been able to stomach that man.
I'm going to take a nap real quick.
Tracy Chatham, look at traffic.
What? I can't hear you. What?